Good morning, good afternoon, everyone, depending on where you're dialing in from. So, welcome to our webinar on Mission Critical AI, securing the digital frontier of the public sector. Thanks very much for joining us today. My name is Brian Martin, and I'm Director of Product Management at Integrity 360, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Paul Tarantino from Prompt Security, now part of SentinelOne. Paul Tarantino is EMEA sales leader for Prompt Security and now part of SentinelOne. Paul has held senior roles within leading security and technology companies such as SentinelOne, Datadog, BMC, KPMG, Mapbox Technologies, and Sun Microsystems. Based in London, he works closely with customers and partners to help AI-driven enterprises secure their environments and unlock value across employees, developers, AI applications, and agentic AI. We're also joined by Patrick Meehan, who is the regional technical lead for Prompt Security across EMEA, securing the Gen AI lifecycle for enterprises, developers, and agentic workflows. Just to let you know that this session is recorded for anyone who may be interested in catching up on it later. You'll see at the bottom of your screen there's a Q&A function. Please use that throughout. If any questions come to you, please put them in the Q&A section, and we will get to those at the end of the talk. We're also going to have a couple of polls during the session, so please give your feedback during the polls as well. Also, to let you know, there is a captions option at the bottom, so anybody who wants to get automatic captions in English or in another language can do so by using that functionality. Okay, so just moving on then to why we're here today. Well, we all know that generative AI has exploded worldwide. You can see here from this graph that there's a rapid adoption and usage of generative AI in the end user market. It's driven a lot by rising enterprise adoption as well, and also the addition of specialized domain-specific systems. But as you can see here, a lot of the functionality that's been used is from the public models as well. You can see here, this is based on about 6 months ago, that there's a plethora of public generative AI web applications and products being used, with ChatGPT and Gemini, DeepSeek, Grok being some of the top ones in usage, but a massive long tail of other applications, whether standalone or also embedded into enterprise applications. In fact, generative AI is now effectively becoming a functionality of most applications, rather than just a standalone application. But there are challenges to generative AI adoption. They don't come for free, particularly the feature-rich and secure versions. So there's sometimes an unclear return on investment and value. Also, there's insufficient organizational change management to drive adoption. Sometimes just by giving people licenses doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's going to adopt it and use it in a productive manner. There's also a lack of generative AI literacy and skills among employees, just because it's there, although you may perceive that it has an intuitive human in language-based interface, it doesn't mean that people really know how to get the most out of it. And then, I suppose for today, that the most pertinent topic is security and governance concerns, and we're going to get into those in a lot more detail today. And it's something we all have to face up to, because you can see here that 96%, pretty much all organizations, have adopted some form of generative AI or plan to. And even if they haven't planned to, your people are using it. And we've got this webinar today is focused on the public sector, but it's really true for all sectors, public and private sector. But if you look at the public sector, employees are using, are processing a lot of sensitive citizen information, and potentially they can put that information at risk if they don't know what they're doing and the right guardrails are not in place. So by the end of this year, research shows that at least 80% of unauthorized AI transactions will be caused by violations of enterprise policies concerning the information, whether it's oversharing, unacceptable use, or misguided behavior, rather than attacks from the outside by malicious actors. So really, it kind of points to the importance of making sure we put the right controls around this. And there are lots of, as AI becomes more embedded in our day-to-day lives, the risks, fall into a few different categories. There's the misuse of third-party generative AI, and can result in data leakages, policy violations, privacy violations, infringements of IP, and also the well-known hallucinations, and not least, the use of shadow AI and cost control, because a lot of these tools are not cheap. You've also got organizations developing their own applications and their own models, and they can be attacked as well through data poisoning, prompt injection, and other well-known attack techniques. And then we also have to secure the organization against AI attacks. As we know, phishing has been enhanced significantly. The use of deep fakes in social engineering, AI-assisted malware development, and AI, and we're starting to see the rise up to late last year of agentic AI-led fully autonomous attacks. So Gartner have come out with their TRISM model, their AI TRISM model for trust, risk, and security management. And this shows that really securing AI and the use of AI goes across the stack, both the traditional technology controls as well as some novel ones. So a lot of the underlying infrastructure still needs the traditional controls around it, around network, endpoint, and cloud security. Then you've got traditional technologies focused on AI information and workloads, and that gives you around the infrastructure, the stack, and the information governance. And then we've got distinctly new market segments emerging around managing AI risk and threats specifically. And the two main areas we see there is around runtime inspection and enforcement of the use of AI, and then AI governance as well. And with that, the advent of AI security platforms is emerging. So you can look at there, when you look at an AI security platforms that are emerging, there's a set of functionalities that we're seeing emerge, both on the AI usage control side and on the AI application security side. So everything from, visibility, discovery, inventory, access control, protecting sensitive data, detecting risky usage of AI, and so on and so forth. And then on the application side, again, it's discovery and inventory, but then it's also the security posture of those applications, the model context protocol security. So that's the way AIs communicate with the outside world through a standard interface, which then opens up all sorts of security threats if it's not managed correctly. So between all of those things, what we're seeing is the emergence of platforms that do many of these things, some or all of these things. And I think it's just a it's a fact of life that we're going to have to rely on some help in helping us to govern and manage AI security within our organizations. So before I hand over to Paul from Prompt Security, we'd just like to run a quick poll. So what is your level of comfort with the control and visibility you have of generative AI use within your organization? Are you very comfortable, somewhat comfortable, a bit uncomfortable, slightly com or not comfortable at all? So I'll just hold off a minute, let some of those responses come through, and then we'll take a quick look at the responses before we hand over. Let's give it a few more seconds, get those answers in if you haven't already. Give it a few more seconds. And if I could ask Rebecca if you could just share the results that have come in so far. Okay, interesting. So the majority, by a long shot, are either not comfortable at all or slightly uncomfortable. So that kind of shows, and that's what we're seeing as well when we talk to customers, when we're out in the market. What we see is this is actually a new present issue that has really only come about, and we've started to become aware of in like literally the last 12 months or so. That we're just not comfortable yet in how we're controlling what the visibility is, how we're managing this. So as you can see from here, over 80% of the respondents are in the uncomfortable zone rather than the comfortable zone. So with that, thanks very much for listening so far, and now I'll hand over to Paul Tarantino. Paul, we can't hear you there.
Brian, thank you very much for having us today, and thank you everyone for attending. So, hello everybody. We are in a defining moment for the UK and Ireland public sector, and indeed across the rest of Europe. AI, as you know, isn't just a buzzword anymore. It's a mission-critical infrastructure, and today we're going to discuss how we secure this new digital frontier without stifling the very innovation that we need to deliver better public services. I'm Paul Tarantino. I'm responsible for prompt security across EMEA within SentinelOne, and based in London. And I'll just get it out on the table. I'm not related to Quinton, but if we meet up, I'm sure we can get very good tables in restaurants. So maybe we'll see how that goes later. So, we'll start by setting the stage for AI in 2026. We'll look at the specific challenges facing the public sector, from the NHS to local government. Then I'll introduce the prompt approach, which is our unique philosophy on AI security, followed by a demo by Pat of our platform in action, which I'm sure you will enjoy. We'll wrap up the session with a Q&A to address your specific concerns. So let's be honest, AI is already in your organization. I mean, it's everywhere. Your developers are using AI code assistants like GitHub Copilot, Cursor, for example. Your marketing teams are using GenAI, probably Gemini, etc. Every team has their favorites. Finance teams are using it for risk analysis. It's not just a few sites, it's an entire ecosystem of agents, code assistants, and embedded tools. And now in 2026, the question isn't if you're using AI, but whether you have visibility into that usage. We all know AI is moving faster than ever, but as adoption accelerates, there's one question we don't ask enough. Are we building all this innovation on a secure foundation? Because in the rush to move fast and deliver more, many organizations have made a silent trade-off. They've chosen convenience and speed over security. I'm sure many of you can align to that. Risks like shadow AI, sensitive data leaks, as Brian mentioned earlier, prompt injections, content toxicity, and more have become a reality for many organizations today. Now, we've all seen the headlines. You know, for the public sector, this is more about, it is, it's about more than security. It's about public trust. A 2025 survey found that 46% of UK government departments see responsible use as the primary barrier to adoption. We've heard reports of staff using shadow AI to bypass backlogs, potentially putting confidential data at risk. The NCSC and GCHQ have already warned of a digital divide emerging between protected departments and those exposed to AI-enabled threats. It's not just frameworks. The regulators are catching up too. From the EU AI Act to the Regulation of AI Bill in Ireland and many others on the horizon, governments are beginning to set real boundaries around AI, how AI can be used. These guidelines all point in the same direction. Organizations must have visibility, control, governance over AI across the enterprise. So this means security, risk, and compliance teams now have to answer some tough questions. What AI sites, applications, and copilots are our employees actually using? Are they approved or part of a growing shadow AI problem? Where's the data going? Is any of it being shared or even unintentionally with public models? And maybe the hardest question of all, do we truly have visibility and policies that enforce it? Because without that, AI risk isn't managed, it's multiplied. So we're moving from guidance to mandate. The EU AI Act sets the benchmark, requiring strict compliance for high-stakes AI, such as HR and credit scoring, and by August 2026, it's rapidly approaching. The UK Data Act 2025 strengthens the ICO's ability to enforce information standards, while Ireland's Regulation of AI Bill distributes oversight to 13 sectoral authorities, with potential fines, as you know, reaching up to 35 million euros or 7% of turnover. So, regardless of the specific legislation, DPIAs are now mandatory for all any for any AI processing personal data. And compliance is no longer a postscript, it's a day zero requirement. So regulators now demand automated logging for high-risk audits and human oversight support for dashboards that enable real-time review and overrides of automated decisions. Personal information, PII redaction, must be automatic to sanitize data before it leaves your perimeter. Real-time content moderation and watermarking are also essential filters for harmful outputs and identify AI-generated content. So you can't manage a fragmented regulatory landscape with fragmented tools. You need a centralized portal to coordinate governance across your entire AI stack. In the public sector, visibility alone isn't enough. Knowing about a violation 5 minutes late is 5 minutes too long. Policy enforcement must be instantaneous, with the ability to block prohibited prompts and interactions in real time. We provide the kill switch for unacceptable risk systems such as emotion recognition in schools and the guardrails to ensure AI innovation never compromises public safety or trust. So let's run another poll, Rebecca. So everyone listening, what is your current approach to your employee shadow AI within your organization? Is it blocked? There is access to some, but not all, or everything is wide open? What do you think? Be interesting. So is all access blocked, or there is access to some, but not all, or everything is wide open? What is your posture with regards to employee shadow AI? Be interesting to see. Oh, is that working, Rebecca? Excellent. That is encouraging to see that. I'm sure there's lots of versions of corporate versions of AI platforms in place with blocks on many others. So thank you very much for those for that feedback. So how can organizations enable all the innovation that AI brings safely, securely, and at scale? So for those of you that have blocked many AI applications, we really believe at Prompt that the answer is to put guardrails around all AI platforms. We recognize that many customers we speak to have standardized on certain AI LLMs like GPT or Copilot, for example, and blocked many others. What we identify is that shadow AI, unfortunately, is alive and well, and departments will find, or users will find, ways around these blockages to do the best they can in their work. I don't believe they do it, well, they don't do it maliciously, but they just want to be productive and use effective LLMs that work for them, such as legal departments, HR departments, sales, logistics, marketing. AI LLMs work best for different departments. I think it's a fact. And they will leapfrog each other as the months go by. Some LLMs will be more effective than others, and that will just continue to be the arms race that we see within AI. So the good news is we're not just talking about these challenges. We at Prompt are already solving them. So this is exactly why we built Prompt Security. This is the most advanced and broadest security for AI platform in the world today. It's a comprehensive AI platform that weaves security, privacy, and governance into essentially every single interaction with AI. From day one, our mission has been simple but powerful: to help organizations like you embrace the power of AI to capture its incredible efficiency and innovation without ever compromising on data privacy, security, or compliance. Prompt Security has already helped hundreds of organizations across the world gain visibility, control, and the confidence you need to use AI safely and securely. We have these four key solutions, or four pillars of security, as we like to say at Prompt. So the first one on the left, Prompt for Employee, it secures how people interact, or your users interact, with AI day to day. Again, giving you that op opportunity to let them embrace whichever AI LLMs they want to use, and help you put guardrails around that. And we're going to look into that in more detail. Prompt for AI Code Assistants, or Prompt for Developers, protects the secrets, IP, and personal information in real time that your developers are using. Prompt for Homegrown Applications brings security directly into custom-built AI applications. And in early availability, we have Prompt for Agentic AI. This is, as we understand, the world's first solution to put guardrails around this rapidly emerging sector of agentic AI and MCP gateways, obviously taking the human out of the loop in these what will be highly mission-critical platforms. And we pioneer the protection for the next generation of these autonomous agents. So let's dive a bit deeper into each of these solutions. So this is what Pat's going to run through with you shortly. Prompt for Employees. This solution provides instant visibility into AI activity across the organization. So for those of you that that have limited or no visibility into shadow AI, this could be the answer you're looking for, as you can see from the dashboard that we'll go through in more detail. We detect the tools that are being used, those AI LLMs that are being used, highlighting the risk and giving your security teams the confidence to act. We support over 15,000 AI sites, and organizations can finally see the entire AI footprint of what is really going on across your company. It also protects sensitive data through real-time anonymization and privacy enforcement, ensuring the information stays inside the organization. And we do this in quite a unique way. Pat will show you how we analyze a prompt that someone types into an AI platform. It goes into the prompt cloud. We sanitize that prompt by redacting the secret information, or the information that is against company policy. The prompt then goes into the cloud, or into the LLM, I should say. The LLM then gives the answer back to the user with the secret information redacted. Prompt is quite unique in the way that it does that, because it still maintains productivity in the workplace by letting users continue using the AI tool. But we help them do a better job by redacting this sensitive information, and therefore putting guardrails around this very sensitive topic. And we educate the employees as well. And Pat will show you how we do that in real time. And you can see here on the screen where it says sensitive data alert, this is the pop-up that comes up to the user saying you've been very naughty, you've created two violations. We've had to redact, in this case, the email address, and we recommend you refer to the AI user guide and don't do it again. And then in the meantime, security have full visibility of who these repeat offenders are and can take the appropriate action. So as you can see here, it supports employees in the moment with this gentle reminder in context coaching that explains unsafe actions and builds better habits over time. And best of all, the solution deploys in minutes as we deploy it through a browser extension or a lightweight desktop agent. So let's move on. With prompt for AI code assistance, organizations can safely adopt tools like, as I mentioned earlier, GitHub Copilot and Cursor. I'm sure if you have developers, they will absolutely be using tools like this or even Claude to increase their productivity by, as we know, up to 60 to 70%. But we can help you do it without sacrificing security or compliance. AI code assistants are changing how software is built, and they're quickly becoming a standard part of modern development, helping teams write code faster and, of course, ship more efficiently. So, as adoption accelerates, these tools are now essential for staying competitive. So, next is prompt for homegrown AI applications. Most organizations are now building AI-powered apps, from chatbots to autonomous agents. And of course, it's a necessary feature to stay competitive and be more productive and reduce operational costs, etc. I'm sure many of you are deploying these today. So prompt shields these apps against AI-specific threats, like prompt injections, jailbreaks, denial of wallet attacks that unfortunately traditional tools miss. You can filter and redact sensitive data on the fly. You can prevent accidental disclosure even when connecting to third-party LLMs or even vector databases. Built-in moderation ensures that AI outputs remain safe, appropriate, and on brand before it basically reaches your user. And by providing end-to-end security and visibility, we can enable your teams to deploy AI with confidence and scale securely. So, without further ado, I'm going to hand you over to Pat, who is going to show you the platform, which I think you're going to enjoy.
Thanks, Paul. I'm gonna share really quickly, and everyone should be seeing my screen. Yeah, folks. So I'm going to run through a very quick use case and very quick console overview of prompt security and what we do. And I'm going to try and address three key things. So first of all, we'll focus on the employees use case as it's more relevant to the public sector at the minute, and it's what we like to call the low-hanging fruit and the easiest one to address. Going to show you how we can observe, govern, control, and educate and coach your users and your organizations to adopt Gen AI responsibly and effectively within your org. So at a high level, what you can see on screen is my prompt console, and I've got a dashboard here for my employee usage of Gen AI tools across the board. So I can see really quickly with my org how many violations were prevented. Think of a violation as something that breached one of our protections or one of our guardrails. So that could be something like secret exfiltration. It could be a sensitive data leak. It could be breach of one of our prompt injection techniques. I can also see the total prompts from the org that was entered in. I can see the amount of users, but most importantly, and one that a lot of public sector organizations are looking to kind of lock down and understand is the use of shadow AI across the org. So we can see over here on the right-hand side, I've got a number of shadow AI applications in usage, but underneath it actually gives me a list of those. So for example, we've several public sector customers who may be enforcing Enterprise ChatGPT or Enterprise Gemini would be the most common ones, or even Copilot. But yet when they deploy prompt and they come and have a look, they start to see that, well, actually, there's a lot of other tools popping up as well. So you're seeing things like maybe Perplexity, Quillbot, Google AI Mode. The list goes on and on. There's that many tools there. And we give them that visibility from day one into what's being actually used. And we can drill into the data a little bit more. So you can see the prompts and violations over time. So if there was something maybe an event or something happening within the org, you could see maybe that the usage of AI went up over that period of time, and you could see the particular types of guardrail breaches and protection breaches and violations that happened at that as well. And we could come down then and drill into the actual breaches themselves. Like, well, I had a couple of sensitive data violations, topics detector, things where I use regex secrets and so on. And we can get more granular even by the users and look at then what users were doing what as well with regards to those violations and that. So our dashboard here gives us a very bird's eye view of everything that's happened. This is exactly what admins and CISOs need when they're looking at what's happening across their org. We build this off our activity monitor. And our activity monitor here is basically a log of what's actually happening with these GenAI tools. So somebody uses ChatGPT, somebody uses Perplexity, they enter in a prompt, we're able to log it. So prompt is deployed for the employee's use case as a browser extension, and we cover all the main browsers. So I'm going to show you how we populate this data with a very simple use case that's relevant to the public sector. So here you'll see I've got my Firefox browser here, and I've got the extension deployed and it's active, and I've got a number of GenAI tools that I might be using for work. So the first thing we want to do is, we said we're not trying to block AI usage. There are some tools that you'll fully block. So you'll see here with DeepSeek, I'm going to show you in a bit that I've completely blocked that. But we want them to be able to use them responsibly, as we keep saying. So as an employee, I go to ChatGPT to do something. I immediately get a warning. So that would happen no matter what AI tool I accessed. Okay. And this can be turned on and off, but all it is really like your first port of call for educating the user. You are about to use a GenAI tool. It's very powerful. Please be careful. And we can customize then what they see and what the warning is as well. And I'm going to bypass that by access it. And it gives me access then to ChatGPT. So if I want to use it for something simple, like I can ask it a question, is the sky blue? Very waste of advanced technology, but we can see that the prompt gone up. It's logging a response. If I go back to my platform, I do a quick refresh. You'll see that that was actually logged. So I can open this up and I can see that that was logged. It didn't breach any of my protections. Good to go. If I try and do something I shouldn't. So here's a really simple use case to understand, and it's trying to leak sensitive data. So what we're seeing is a lot of orgs where people are heavily dependent on AI now, they're going to use it almost like as an extension of the workforce. So for me, I'm going to dump this in here. I'm saying, hey, draft the response to this citizen complaint, include their details. I've got the name, I've got the date of birth, I've got their address, and I've got maybe a social security number, national insurance number, PPS number, you name it. So when I try and add that into the LLM, this is what happens. I get that pop-up, that coaching, that education piece. It's basically saying you've done something you shouldn't, and it's given a quick warning. And you can see what actually happens. So it's redacting the sensitive data. So the social security number is redacted, the name is redacted, the date of birth, and the address was redacted. What happens under the hood, if I close this, it actually allowed the LLM to complete the workflow that we wanted. So productivity is not stopped. We can do a number of things. We can redact or we can block. We definitely want to be enforcing the redaction unless it's something that you completely want to block. But here now, the end user is able to complete their work. But as you'll notice here at the actual prompt level, nothing sensitive went up into the LLM. So we intercepted that prompt, we scanned it, we applied our protections, and then we returned that data and allowed productivity to continue. So that's a really simple example of that use case. And if I jump back to the platform, and I do a quick refresh, you'll see that that was logged as a violation. So think of this almost like a traffic light system, red and green. So red will show the timestamp of what happened. It will show the action that was taken, where the data was modified, the violations that occurred, the findings in the violations, the product, the app. And we can drill into that data then as well. And we can see exactly what actually happened and what it triggered on. I could look at the prompt that was entered. I could look at what it was modified to, and even check the diff to make sure that my protections are working as effectively as they can. We gather other metadata that might be useful to you if you're building out further workflows. So we can pick up things on like the policy, the tool, even down to the browser, the extension, and the IP that was used. This may be useful if you're sending this out to AI SIM or to a data lake or an automation tool, and you wanted to build workflows out of that. But this shows you very, very quickly how we can view what's happening, a particular use case that is relevant to the business and the data that we pull back and how we actually block and redact it. Now, how we govern and control all that is done in a twofold way. We do a combination of policies and security rules. So you can have po one policy, which is our default employees one here. It's pretty powerful out of the box, but most cases it would need a little bit of iteration and tweaking to apply to your particular organization or unique business. I can also add other policies. So I might need a policy for my legal team. I might need a policy for the board, IT, so on and so on. Or it may have different divisions and groups within the org. It's a very large company. And we can apply separate policies to them and apply them to rules and get very, very granular with what we're doing. Each policy then has protections built in, and protections are around things like data privacy. So we'll regard sensitive data and secrets. So for sensitive data, we could be focusing on things like particular frameworks, so PCI, PII, GDPR, you name it. I can add in custom data types for secret exfiltration. We're capturing over 215 different secrets. So your AWS keys, your Jira client keys, your Facebook tokens, all of these can be captured and looked at as well. Out of the way. Okay. And we do things then around topic detector, harmful content moderator. So there may be certain things that you don't want discussed within the actual org you're working on. So here, for example, I've stock trading or maybe human resource hiring and firing decisions. And these are really easily testable when you add a new rule. We have a playground here. So I could really quickly come in and I could say, Pat was late four times this week. Should I fire him? Hopefully not. And that will trigger then on sensitive data. Oh, sorry. Come back. That will trigger then on a sensitive data and topic detector as well, that I'm doing something like that. Something I definitely don't want to do. These policies then are applied to our security rules. Going to discard the changes. And our security rules work from a top-down way. So I've got a number of rules here. At the bottom, I've got a catch-all rule for all users, all applications. This is our default rule, and this is included out of the box as well. And what I'm doing for all users and all applications is I'm applying one of maybe four things. Okay. I'm applying the policy that I want, and I'm doing either protect, detect, block, or don't track. So protect, this is where you get that coaching, that redaction, that education piece. So if I have that enabled and I try and dump sensitive data like you saw in the example, I'm going to get that block up. Detect mode, you may just want to monitor the usage on certain applications. You may not want that redaction and pop-up happening or in a particular like scenario, like if we were running a POV or an AI assessment, we may run it on a select group of users in detect mode only. Block and don't track, these guys do exactly what they say on the tin. So for don't track, I have a couple of apps here like Glean, like Gemini, the Notion AI component, and I don't want any activity tracked in those at all. And then block, this is the one that really is crucial. So there's a lot of tools out there that orgs and companies in the public sector don't want their employees using. DeepSeek is probably the most common one that commonly props up. So we can come in here and we can search our large database of AI apps and AI components, and we can then select one. So I could add really quickly, let's say I wanted to add Koala. So I could add Koala to that list, and that's completely blocked. And how that works then is if someone tries to attempt to go to one of those sites, so here we can see it. I'm going to open up. I'm going to try and access DeepSeek. It will let me get to their main marketing site. As soon as I access the AI component, it's completely blocked. Doesn't work. So we're able to lock down, control, and see exactly what's happening across those orgs. Deployment is really simple for the employee use case. I'm going to discard changes. So we can roll it out on Mac and Windows via supported MDMs. There's also manual install. Do a couple of these. I've done the manual install. We can integrate it with Google Workspace. But there are a couple of things. And then we have various extension settings that we can control, like customizing your pop-ups, ChatGPT specific settings, blocking and inspecting file uploads, and so on and so on. There's quite a lot that we can do. And then again, it will be a case of iterating on that for your unique business and that as well. And just to touch briefly then on the other products that we use. So we would do the same kind of protections and guardrails for homegrown apps and developers. So homegrown apps here, similar dashboard showing risky interactions, the violation types. Developers would work in the same way. Violations prevented. We're looking at access tokens and API keys here being leaked and giving you a visibility into maybe risky users. So you'll see down here, Patrick Meehan, yours truly is a very risky user because I keep dumping stuff into GitHub Copilot and Claude, which I definitely shouldn't be doing. And the governance and control of all them, they have the same way. Policy security rules. Policy security rules, the deployment will be very different then where the developers is governed by a lightweight agent. The homegrown apps then is either via API or we use an AI gateway then as well. Yeah, I think, Paul, that's probably enough for today. I don't want to keep going into too much level, so I'm going to hand it back there to Brian, I think. Is that good enough?
That's great.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Pat.
Patrick.
Cheers, Brian.
So let me just reshare. So we're now getting to the Q&A section. So thanks so much, Patrick. Thanks so much, Paul, for the insightful overview of both the challenge, the market, and the platform as well. Just while the questions are coming in, so I'd encourage everyone to submit questions. We already have a few coming in. Just to highlight a couple of upcoming events and webinars. So on Tuesday, the 24th of February, we have a webinar on payments compliance. So it's called We're Not in Scope, The Dangerous Myth of False Security in the Payment Technology. So there's lots of different standards that many organizations need to be compliant with in the whole payment space, you know, PCI being the main one, but there are other ones as well. So if you're in that space at all, or even if you're not, but they want to be sure you're not, then you know you can register through following the QR code. And also, next month we're starting our Security First Roadshow, coming to, as you can see, many different locations across Ireland, UK, Europe, Africa, Caribbean, and beyond. So please join, you know, join up to a conference near you, and you'll experience a day packed with insightful information about cybersecurity. And now moving on then to the Q&A section. I'm just going to open up here what we've received so far. Okay, so quite a lot of questions come in, which is great. So I'm just going to throw them out there, and Paul and Patrick, you can jump in with what you think is who's best to answer. So first question, which threat categories does the platform not currently address? Are there known gaps where customers must augment the platform with third-party tooling? You know, for example, insider threat monitoring, real-time behavior analytics, or full SIEM and UEBA integration?
I suppose I can take that. So not categories as such, and we don't see that we have current gaps at the minute. As we said, like we look at that, we're addressing it with those four pillars: employees, AI code assistance, the homegrown applications, and now the agentic AI use. So we're really like focusing on picking up on those specific use cases. We see prompt as augmenting your current stack, so we can augment your SIEM and your UEBA by piping out the data there to that and to work on it there. The real-time behavior analytics, you probably saw a little bit of that with regard to what's happening in the activity monitor and then from the dashboard. So again, all of that data then could be piped out to a third-party tool if needed, but it's not something that's always done. Hopefully that helps that one.
Yeah, and I would see it more in the category. I mean, I think the question and looking at the examples there are around, you know, threat detection and response. Whereas I think the tool is more and platform is more focused around improving your security posture. You know, it's about guardrails, protections, rather than, you know, detecting a threat and sort of, you know, putting it out to a SOC to investigate and respond to, if you like.
Yeah, what I'd like to add to that as well is that you don't need this SentinelOne cybersecurity platform in place to run Prompt. So you can run Prompt, any of those one pillars, you can run completely independently without the need for any other backend. Obviously, and all the logs go into your existing SIEM.
Thanks, Paul. Next question. You position the platform as LLM agnostic. How does that translate operationally for customers who run multiple models simultaneously, especially hybrid cloud on-prem deployments? Does the complexity scale linearly with the model count, or do you have optimization layers?
Yeah, so we are completely LLM agnostic. I mean, I'm assuming this is probably referring maybe to more the homegrown applications than the employee
Think
use.
so, yeah.
So yeah, we would have customers that are running several different models. The deployment for homegrown applications, we scope it out on a case by case basis because yeah, like what you're asking there is probably unique to your line of business. But we do have customers doing similar who are using multiple models, and the integration is pretty straightforward, either via, it's a man in the middle API or using the LLM gateway, as we call it as well, which is just installing a line of code in your code base, and it directs everything then to prompts. So regardless of the LLM you're using, we're able to kind of sit in between your what we say your input point, and then before it gets to the actual LLM, so the prompt can control that and add the guardrails.
And a related question was whether Prompt is purely cloud-based or on-prem, or are there different options available?
So we've two flavors of prompt, as we call it at the minute. We have a fully SaaS version available in three regions across the EU, APAC, and North America. And we do provide an on-prem or self-hosted version as well. And again, we would scope that out depending on the particular org's needs and that, and make sure that it is the best option for them. But that's typically deployed via Kubernetes.
Another good question here, which is, when you think about a lot of the use case here about not leaking sensitive data, so it's a logical question if the solution has data classification capabilities or integrates with a data security platforms to gain this insight. Like, for example, we know in the Microsoft world where things get labeled, confidential versus internal, external, etc. So is there any of those types of classifications or integrations available?
We don't integrate directly with data security platforms, as in we don't ingest anything from them. And within the platform, then there's not that data classification type, as you said, like internal, confidential, and that. But we can use things like custom data types and maybe natural language guardrails to kind of help to solve that kind of use case as well. But that's something that would probably, I'd imagine, be on the roadmap as a feature request, because we're seeing those kind of questions come up a lot as well, Brian.
Yeah. Next question. I can't recall exactly. Did I see a screen that showed the inventory of all AI in use in the organization? Does this list the entire AI or the group by the types of AI, say like assistants, agentic, etc.?
Yeah, so what I would have shown on screen there was the shadow AI application usage for the dummy org that I had set up. So that's on the right-hand side of the dashboard, and it will literally show a list. Mine was quite small. I think it had about eight different AI tools and components, but we have customers who would have that list in the hundreds, and that will show a comprehensive list. So regardless of whether it's a web-based Gen AI tool, a desktop application, or an AI component, like something like maybe Rufus as part of Amazon, and that will all show on that list for the employees use case. For the other ones, for the developers and the homegrown applications, it will also show a list. So if we have a bundle of developers using VS Code, Devon, you name it, that will all show on their list as well. And then your homegrown applications and even your MCP servers will provide a comprehensive list of those as well in each relevant dashboard.
Another a similar question to the data classification. Does it detect files with purview data labels and stop confidential files being uploaded to the AI tool?
Yeah, so what we do with file scanning is we do a bit of OCR on the file scanning, where we don't redact within file. If there is something within that file that is labeled as confidential or breaches one of the sensitive data guardrails that we have, that will be blocked then, and we won't allow that to go up to the LLM.
Okay.
It would be probably a matter of just customizing one of your rules, Brian, to pick up on something like internal confidential or that, like, so putting in like maybe a custom data type or a natural language guardrail.
Yeah, this sort of question is good in that it highlights the fact that I mentioned at the start that you have all these standalone AI applications, kind of public LLMs, etc. But then you have a lot more embedded AI. So the question is, with more applications coming with embedded AI, how does the solution handle these?
Yeah, so whilst there is a lot that we currently cover with regard AI components to that, there are some that still aren't in scope. Our R&D team are working to try and address that and close that gap. Like things like Gemini's access to email and attachments is something that is currently out of scope.
But we would deploy an agent essentially to pick up the desktop applications, right?
Yeah, for a desktop application, yeah, we can absolutely deploy the lightweight agent that would pick up on any of that usage. So, like if you're using Claude Desktop or GitHub or that, yeah.
Are you seeing anything with regards to the effects of the EU AI Act on UK companies with EU interests?
Do you want to take that one, Paul?
Yeah, very much so. Absolutely. I mean, these UK companies still need to put the guardrails in place, and really, it's about control and auditability. So yes, absolutely. We obviously what you've seen today helps give a lot of that control and auditability in line with certain aspects of the EU regulation.
Okay. A couple of queries around if people want to get a demo or even get a kind of a trial version, is that possible?
Yeah, very much so. As you've heard today, it's very quick to deploy via the browser extension. We would literally put it in a standard policy mode, in monitor only mode, and ideally, if you could find a user group of around 30 to 50 users, typically security or IT folks. And then after a week, you would have that dashboard. You would have a light shone on your shadow AI to see exactly what is going on across the organization. There's no cost associated with that. And it's very quick and simple to deploy. We typically run it for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so that's a very quick way to get insight into the usage and to see how big your problem is.
Exactly.
There's a question around pricing now. I don't think we'd be sharing the pricing in a forum like this, but could you give some indication even just around the pricing model
Yeah, for
and
sure.
how
It's
it's run?
again very straightforward. It's per user per year. Per user per AI platform user, desktop user per year. For prompt for employee and also prompt for developer as well. And then the homegrown applications is based on number of API calls.
Okay, perfect. So I think I've got through most of the questions there that have come in so far. Okay, hang on a sec. I think something else just came in. One moment. Yeah, no, it's more of a duplicate, I think. Yeah, so I think we've covered the main questions. So with that, just want to thank Patrick and Paul for attending today, and also thanking everybody who joined to listen to the webinar. So as mentioned, it's very easy to get set up with a free trial. So by all means, reach out. Our team will send out information after the webinar. So if anybody wants to follow up, they're more than welcome to get in touch. So with that, thanks everyone, and have a great day.
Thank you,
Thank
Brian.
you, Brian.
Bye
Thanks.
now. Thank you,
Bye.
everyone.